Let's pray together. God, I thank you that you are a God of incredible intention. That you don't sort of like float through, move through life and just sort of make it up as you go. That you know the plans that you have for us. And we see this intentionality from the very beginning in our creation. And tonight as we come to your word, Lord, we pray that we would have by your Spirit the ability to sit before an intentional God and to hear the intentions of his heart. To read your holy word and to realize that it was written intentionally. We submit ourselves tonight to the word of God. Lord, as we go to this text and as we spend time together in your word tonight, I pray that your voice would be the loudest. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is doing and saying tonight. We pray in your name. Amen. Amen. At VIA, as we kind of live our life together in all of our churches, we have had forever, since even before VIA was VIA, we've had this idea that we wanted to be, from the very beginning, we were very passionate people. If you've hung out with us for a little bit, you've kind of caught on to that. We're very passionate about God. Around here, we're very passionate about brisket. We're just very passionate people, right? And we kind of attract passionate people. But we talked early on, and I remember Bishop Todd talking to us about this idea that we want to be passionate people, but we want to be passionate about things that are worth being passionate about. And so as churches, we have said in our churches, what do we want to be passionate about, and how would we even answer that question? And so years ago, Todd led us to the example of Jesus, and we said, well, wouldn't it make sense if we were passionate about the things Jesus was passionate about? It's a simple idea, but it's profound and very helpful to me, because it's become a bit of a guide rail. And so at VIA, you'll hear us talk about five passions. One of those is presence. We're passionate about presence, the presence of God. We're passionate about community. And a community that has Christ at its center, a community that he builds. We're passionate about community. We're passionate about discipleship. We're passionate about not just kind of staying where we are now, but moving forward in our lives and moving forward in our lives with God and our understanding of what it is to be like him. And that process we call discipleship, we're passionate about that. We're passionate about mission. And here at VIA Langley, we are incredibly passionate about mission. God has put such a burden on our heart for those who have not come into the life-changing, life-giving relationship with Jesus that we know. And so we are passionate about, we say often around here, sounding the clarion call of the gospel, like a trumpet blast, as striking and as loud as we can so that people can hear the good news of Jesus and come. We're passionate about mission. But the fifth passion, and one that I would like to talk about a bit more tonight, is this passion that we've called calling. We're passionate about calling. We're passionate about this idea, because we see it in Jesus, that all of us were created with intention. We were created with things like gifts. We were created with a sense of calling, of purpose. And I don't know about you, but I've never met anyone who isn't trying to figure out what that is for them. And I've never met more miserable or at rest people than those who can't figure it out, right? It's like, the reason is because we were created for it. And so Jesus was passionate about calling, and he was very passionate about serving calling. He would meet people, and he would call it out of them. He would affirm it in them quickly. He would train them for it. He would create opportunities for them to get better in their callings, to walk it out. And then he would even go as far at different times as to just send them out, to release them. So passionate about calling that at the end of his earthly life, he ascends to heaven and says, "Your turn." He's passionate about calling. So we are passionate about calling. We desire to see everyone walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, exercising their gifts, and by doing that, building up the body of Christ and proclaiming the good news of Jesus. We want to see everyone participating in the work of the kingdom, because we've come to realize that's the fun stuff. When we get to be a part of what God's doing, I spent years in my life in a group of churches called the Vineyard, and our leader, John Wimber, used to say all the time, everybody gets to play. This is the heart. That no one in the church gets to sit on the sideline and watch. We're passionate about helping you realize, what has God called me to, and how do I walk into that? Paul was passionate about it too, and he says the church is like a body. And the reality of this to that body, he says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. No one here tonight, no one in the body of Christ doesn't have calling, doesn't have gifts, doesn't have a purpose in the kingdom of God, a place where you get to partner and to see kingdom things come and happen. Young, old, tall, short, rich, poor, married, celibate, male, female. And so I want to turn to a text tonight, right at the beginning of the scriptures, Genesis chapter 1. So if you've got Bibles, you can turn with me. We're going to look at two verses, verses 26 and 27. And I'm going to read those for you. There are two verses right in the middle of the creation account. In those first two chapters of Genesis, we hear of the creation of God the author, God the creator, and how he brings everything into being. And these two verses speak to the creation of us, mankind. And this is what it says. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The word of the Lord. I read that scripture tonight and echoes in the back of my mind the words of J.I. Packer when I took a course from him. And this is what was written, and this is what I read, and this is what you have heard. This is a passage of scripture that is incredibly important for us today. To hear the intention of God in the creation of man. He created everything. There is nothing that is that he did not create. But when he created man, he did something different than he had done already. He's created. And he's created this creation that certainly in ways reflects him. It reflects pieces of his heart, his nature. Many of you experience this when you go on beautiful hikes. If you've never, just go for a hike with Jeff. He'll make sure it happens for you. That we stand and we see this breathtaking awe and we take in something of the heart of God. But not like what happened when he created you and I. Only in the creation of humanity did he create in his own image. A significant thing. When God created mankind, Genesis 1 tells us a few pretty important things. First of all, it tells us that we were created with intention. Unlike the rest of creation, we were created in the image and the likeness of God to be on this earth a visible witness to the presence of God and the nature of that God within creation. That mankind was placed in the creation to message to the whole of creation that there is a God and this is what he's like. So much so that God actually gives to man a calling. So the second thing, we were created with intention, and secondly, we were created with calling. And so you can read right in those verses, God said to man whom he created, I give you dominion. I want you to care for the creation. I want you to extend my heart for that which I've created. I want you to embody it. I want you to sacramentally envision it to the people and to the creation around you. When the scriptures tell us that we've been given dominion over creation, that word in our English language just immediately makes us think of really ugly things, doesn't it? Dominion. But recognize it's dominion in the image of God. It's dominion in the way that God has dominion. It's dominion in a way that is marked by care, by service, by sacrifice, by love. Yes, it's a dominion, and it's a dominion that's needed because creation was created to be sustained. Creation was not created to sustain itself. God sustains creation. And incredible, he created man to walk that out in a visible way. God created with intention. He created us with a calling. And third of all, he created us male and female. The verse, specifically in verse 27 at the end, is clear to say this. Created in the image of God, male and female, he created them. We were created, first of all, this says to me, for relationship. And if you read Genesis 2, you see how this male-female thing comes about. He looks at Adam, and Adam looks far too lonely. This isn't good. And so he creates a helper for Adam so that they can live life together. And when they come together, they become bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. There is a togetherness of male and female in the intention of God. This male and female, this gendering of humanity, was intentional on God's part. It was a part of his ordering of creation. An order by God to reflect something. It was ordered on purpose, because in this gendering, in this male and female together, God is actually giving witness to who he is. So, it is essential then for us now, this created humanity, essential for men to know what it is to be men. And to be free to walk in their manhood. But it is essential not for us to know what we think it is to be a man or what culture tells us what it is a man, but what it was in God's intention and heart when he created men. It's essential. And it is likewise essential for women to know what it is to be women. And to be free to walk in their womanhood. Also, women need men to be men if they're to walk in the fullness of their calling. And men need women to be women in order to walk in the fullness of theirs. We were created to do life together. Male and female, he created them. It was on purpose. He did it very intentionally. And I would say as a side note, I don't have time to get into all this tonight, but not something to be mucked about with. There was an intention in the heart of the Creator. There was reasons why he created man, male and female. And then Genesis chapter 3. This intention of God, this oneness, this union comes to this tree. And they eat of the fruit, and you see the followed in Genesis chapter 3 is one of the things that happens is there comes a division, there comes a friction, there comes a bit of a separation or a fight between the male and the female. Adam, what did you do? Ah, the woman made me do it. That's my paraphrase, not exactly what it says, but it's close. The woman whom you gave to be with me. This woman who was a gift to man, who in many ways, not just the Jerry Maguire way, but in a real way completed him, who was an incredible gift. Now Adam literally turns on the giver and says, that was not the gift, like you weren't thinking this through. The woman you gave to me mucked the whole thing up. He's turned on her. And then Adam, God starts to talk to woman, and all of a sudden there is something in this relationship, in this created intention of God that wasn't meant to be there. Sin has brought a brokenness to this beautiful union, this beautiful unity that God had created. And we've wrestled ever since to know what it is to truly be men and women. We've wrestled ever since to understand what it is to do life together. I said that at VIA we're passionate about calling. And one of the things that I can't talk about calling without talking about this nature to what we mean by calling. In this, that calling is shared. That our callings are intertwined. That the callings we're passionate about are a shared calling. It's not about all of us having these callings. And if it gets like that, you know what it starts to turn into? It starts to turn into a bit of a rodeo. Who can stay on the longest? You know, it's kind of like, I like your calling, but I'm going to trump you with mine, right? Or thank you, God, for my calling, but I sure wish it looked more like Sarah's, right? It becomes this really weird thing when we begin to think individualistically about our callings. The other side of it is that God's given me a calling. But I have learned over time that if I'm to walk in the fullness of that calling, I need you. It's a shared calling because actually, in its isolation, it won't work. I can be as gifted and as called as I'll get out, but you know what comes with my gifts and my strengths? Propensities towards weakness and drift and problems. And so I need Jeff, who walks in different calling. Right? I need Alec, who walks a different calling. I need Catherine. I need her voice. I need this shared sense of calling. Now, the hardest place for me to really fully comprehend that, it took me a number of years. I'm kind of slow to the party. I'm very thankful for an incredibly gracious wife. But one of the hardest places for me to understand that was in my marriage. That as man and woman came together, it wasn't about Chad's calling, but it was about our calling. That the calling of Jana's life and the calling on my life intertwined together was part of what became one when we were married. And suddenly there's a calling on us as a family, on us as a home. And if Jana's allowed to walk in the fullness of her calling, and I can walk more fully in mine, and vice versa. And part of what it is to be called by God, part of that calling is shaped, it is marked by my gender. As we seek to walk in the calling of God on our lives, we must understand that our callings are intimately connected. It's true in a massive way as it relates to men and women in the church. And so we are passionate about calling it VIA, and let it be said that we are passionate about men and women walking in the fullness of their callings. Walking in the fullness of who they are and what God has called them to be and do. We want to walk in our calling as a church, in our shared calling as a church, and we want to walk in the shared calling of the church as a whole. When in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus, right before he ascends, gives us a calling. He says, "Church, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Right before he speaks this out to the group of people in chapter 27 of Matthew, we get a bit of a picture of what this community looked like. And certainly there was receiving this calling, the apostles, this apostolic community of witnesses, right? And we can sometimes, and I think in our Western context and in the church, have had a tendency to see that predominantly in a male shape. But I love that the writer of Matthew's gospel points out to us in Matthew 27 that there were also many women there. That this apostolic communion, this apostolic community was men and women. And women didn't just have some sort of side piece to play. They kind of helped make sure the men could do what they did. They seemed to carry weight. They seemed to carry something that was essential. In fact, that verse happens at the cross, and it's said that there's women at the foot of the cross, and it seems to be that there's a lot more women at the foot of the cross than there are men. There's actually something that women bring to the table that men don't seem to be doing. The Great Commission, this calling, what we here at Via Langley have spoke to as the clarion call of the gospel, and I'm going to quote our bishop tonight a couple of times, it must be sounded by a masculine and a feminine ministry alongside one another. If we are to truly embody the gospel, to truly present it to the world around us, we have to do it together. Could it be that my vision of God and of myself is incomplete apart from a community where both manhood and womanhood are understood as God intended? What I understand, what I know of God and of myself, could it be that it's distorted if I don't embrace the fullness of what God has done and called me to live in? Could it be that that vision, that understanding is distorted if I'm part of or live my life unwilling to embrace other? I would say yes. And so what this does for me tonight as I come to a close is it raises for me this need. I feel it. And certainly early on in my life, in my early adult years, I really felt it. Was if it is essential for me to understand what it is to be a man of God, and if it is essential for me to properly, rightly see women the way that God intended for me to see them, then I need help. I need discipleship. I need someone to come in alongside me and help me figure that out. Why? Well, partly because I'm a little slow on the draw. Partly because sin has impacted my life. And throughout my life, sin has, my own and that of others, has distorted my understandings and my views of the people in the world around me. So that's part of the problem as well, right? But it's also because I live in a world, and I don't know if there's ever been a man or a woman since Genesis 3 who didn't, but certainly today, in a world where the idea of man and woman, the idea of gender in general, is as confusing as it's ever been. It's a muck and a mire. In Psalm 40, I pray the Lord would lift us up out of it. It's tough. And so my heart longs, and as a priest here at Via Langley, I pray that God would lead and direct me and lead and direct us as a community into a place where we could be discipled into a right understanding of who we are as men and women and how we see each other and how we live life together. Because if we can understand that, if we can grow into a firmer understanding of it, we will see the gospel. We will hear a clarion call of the gospel. So I am very excited that our bishop has taken some initiative in our movement to help us in this direction. We are passionate about this at VIA, but I don't know if anybody's more passionate about it, and especially about women walking in the fullness of their callings, than our bishop. And so just in this last couple weeks ago, actually, we had our first ordination in Lethbridge of two of our dear and treasured women to the Order of Deaconess, an order that we can talk about more. Bishop Todd has written an incredible paper, so if you're really into this stuff and you want to learn, it's brilliantly written. I can get you a copy of that to understand more of kind of what went into this and how it ties into the ancient traditions of the church. It's not something we invented. But we have welcomed two women, and we are lucky at Via Langley to have one of them in our community. Sarah Maynard was ordained to the Order of Deaconess just 2 weeks ago, and we are so celebrating with her, because as Sarah comes into that place, She is stepping into a place, committing her life, and having been blessed and anointed and prayed over for the charism of the Holy Spirit to come and to empower and to enable her in a divine way to come alongside women in our community and help to serve and raise them up and support and cheer them on and learn what it is for them to walk in their callings. And so we are so excited about that. I'm excited about that for our women because the deaconess is really a ministry to women. But Sarah and I have talked, and I can never let it stand at that, because the ministry of deaconess is a massive ministry to us as men. I've cried many times telling Sarah how excited I am and honoring her as she steps into this place. At VIA, we ordain people into places that we've already seen them exemplifying. Sarah has stood in this place and been this to so many for so many years. The other woman that was ordained was Kay at VIA Lethbridge, who is my mother-in-law. And remember I said when I was a young man, I had no idea what it was to be a man of God or how to think of women of God. Well, guess when she came into my life. And so I wept when I blessed her last time I saw her. We are so thankful to have these women come and to step into this place and not in their own strength. We need to pray for them. Because they step into a place, it's a muck and a mire. And so we pray that the Holy Spirit would empower them. And certainly, if you didn't see the ordination service already, you can jump on our website and watch that. The whole of the ordination liturgy is, Lord, empower them. Come, Holy Spirit. This, too, from Bishop Todd's writing on the deaconess. And I'll close with this. The deaconess must arise again. Women are coming to Christ, but they bring with them pagan views of God, which could only distort their vision and image of God depicted in male and female. I would add to that that there's a good chance that some of you who have known the Lord for a long time would add yourself to a need for this. Men in the church also have wrong-headed views of women. The church must recover a thoroughgoing biblical anthropology and ensure that the anthropology is embodied in our essential structures. And so we are so excited today to have Sarah, as we always have been, but to have her in this place, having been ordained and commissioned and anointed to stand in that place. And so tonight what we wanted to do, we talked as a leadership, and it's so great we can do it with Bishop Todd here. I'm going to invite him to come, and Sarah, I'll invite you to come too right now if you can. What we want to do together as a church, it's important, I actually think very important for us, to choose and make a choice as a body to receive Sarah in this position. And as we do that, part of what we're doing is we're submitting to God. We're coming under the ordering of God in our community to say that, Lord, this is a muck. When I said this is a muck and a mire, I had you all, every one of you. Yeah. You might have all meant different things by that, but you all know it's a muck. And what God is saying is, here is one of the ways that I'm going to serve you into this. You want to grow in this? You want to be healthy in this? And so it makes sense for us tonight to receive Sarah in this as a church, because we couldn't all get to Lethbridge, even if we'd wanted to. Good old COVID. But it's such an honor to be able to do this tonight. And so Todd has a couple of things for Sarah, and then we're just going to pray. We're going to lead us as a community in a prayer for Sarah. If you'd like to know more about the Order of Deaconess, I can get you that paper. I may even just post it to the sermon tonight so you can download that. But your better option is to buy Sarah coffee and to hear what is a beautiful journey. It was a beautiful story. She walked such an incredible discernment journey and really that brought together years of life that had led her to this moment. Church, as we prepare to come to the table, Bishop Todd is going to preside and serve us tonight. But I want to encourage you with a couple of things as we come to the table. And the first thing we will do is have some time for confession and to bring our hearts to the Lord, and so right to maybe think about this. But in light of the word today, and as we seek to walk into this space, and in a day where there is a muck and a mire around gender, seek God's heart, God's understanding, what is very much to be not a muck and a mire, but a very clear piece of life. I want to invite you to consider your own hearts in relationship to gender. And so first of all, you may want to consider your own heart and your life and your journey in relationship to your own gender. As I've shared with you, for me it was difficult to answer the question, and still I have much to learn about what does it mean to be a man of God. And so maybe you would want to bring that forward to the Lord, and as you do, you might even recognize parts of your own womanhood or your own manhood where you've recognized in this moment, I think I've walked in a wrong way. I think I've misunderstood or misappropriated that. Secondly, I encourage you to consider your relationship to the opposite gender. Consider your heart towards the opposite sex. Consider your actions, your behaviors tonight. And the invitation is not one to condemnation ever in the presence of God, but one to absolution, one to reconciliation, one to healing and forgiveness. We want to live in the intention we were created for, to image our God in a beautiful way. And so I invite you right now just to take that moment. I will give you a quiet moment and then Todd will come.